Thank you. This is the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee meeting of July 6, 2010, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And our Paul, could you please call the roll?
Okay. Thank you. A little longer than usual because I have to shut down the computer because it's 99 degrees Fahrenheit.
You're trying to keep the computer equipment alive.
Okay. So, paper here. Alonzo Brown.
Alonzo requested, he said he would come on the call late this evening.
Okay. Mike Jones.
Here.
Albert Valuera.
Present. How are you?
Our Paul Martin is here. Simon Pius.
He requested, excuse that.
Summer Reese.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Present.
John Wenger.
Here.
Lauren Williams.
Present.
Bruce Wolf.
Here.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary. All right. Tonight's proposed agenda, if we could go ahead and dispense with the approval of the minutes. Could you go ahead and just read the minutes for the stream? Paul, do you mind? Do you have those handy?
No, because the computer is now down.
Okay, then we will bypass that and go to our next meeting. It's really housekeeping. I just want to keep up with it. And the agenda for tonight, and LaVonda, is Brian with us yet, or he'll be joining us?
I'm gonna have to go off and call him.
Okay. And do you know Arlene or Ricardo, to your knowledge, are them joining us this evening?
Arlene's going to be on elections, and if we're still on the call, which I'm sure we will be through by elections.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be done before they are done, yes. All righty then. Okay, so then for the proposed agenda for this evening is that we will review the PRA budget because we'll have the presence of Brian Trishays, who's the director of the Pacifica Archives, to review that budget with us. And I guess I'd like to keep kind of an open agenda, you know, if there are other things that need to be added, but that's the only thing that's directly on tap because we don't have the disadvantage of KPFK to go over the KPFK budget tonight. Tom Swanger, treasurer from KPFK, can give us an update on a couple of things there, but they may or may not be germane if we're not reviewing the entire budget. So,
Summer, before you start, I just have a quick question. How come there was a conflict between our committee meeting and the elections committee tonight?
I do not know, because I am positive that we scheduled first because we've been very scrupulous not to step on anybody's toes to schedule on top of other people's meetings. And as we call, when we went for a brief only a week ago, the reason we picked tonight is, I think, because it was empty. No, I'm not sure. Maybe it was we stepped over, maybe it was because everything was double-booked. I'd think I have to listen to last week's call to remember. There you go. Okay.
Okay.
That's all right. Thank you. I didn't think we were the ones who had double booked there because we've been trying to be very careful about that. And our next meeting, obviously, is scheduled for after the in-person PMB meeting. So, anyway, is there any objection to, you know, we're taking a little bit loose this evening, but go ahead and we're going to start with reviewing the PRA budget. And it sounds to me if we don't have, LaVonne, are you still there? She may have gotten a call.
Oh, she went to get Brian.
I'm here. I'm calling Brian now. My iPhone is not working. It is not making calls.
How dare it.
I know, so I have to call on my personal cell phone.
Okay, no problem. Well, we'll let you be. Well, all I wanted to know, LaVonne, is do we have any of the information we need to discuss, any personnel matters in executive session? Because I sort of feel like we need to have Arlene involved with that as well and possibly legal counsel.
Right now I don't have anything.
Oh, thank you. So I have a feeling our executive session is going to get scrapped again, even though I think it's really vital that we do tackle these issues before we approve budget. So I think tonight really the only thing on tap is going to be the PRA budget and any other, you know, points of discussion. Are there any items for the agenda that any board members, or committee members would like to put on?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Barn.
I want to talk a little about, hey, Brian, excuse me.
Go ahead. And who else's voice did I hear?
Alberto just wanted to say that maybe we can take this opportunity to have a really short meeting.
Of course. I'm always in favor of that, Albert, especially if there isn't sufficient work to make our time worthwhile. I'm happy to do long meetings when we've got things to chew on, but there's no point in one if we don't have the information. Okay. So as soon as LeVon gets, is there any objection to that as our tentative agenda for this evening, which is the PRA budget, essentially? And hearing none, I'd like to have that approved, please.
I want to talk about the board meetings and talk about some parameters on, at one time in audit, especially now that, we really have cash flow issues, mm-hmm. that we need to talk about some parameters of board meetings. And since George is on the call, and then we can take this to when, if there's a coordinating committee. Because, we really need to be careful. Well, that's what I like to talk about.
Okay, sure, of course. So why don't we make that a secondary agenda item? I mean, I personally really want to discuss some of the things that we need in executive session, but we're not able to do that tonight. So I'm happy to discuss something that we can discuss in open session on board meetings, and et cetera.
Excellent.
So PRA followed by board meeting discussion. And I think that's totally appropriate, especially since we have a meeting coming up so short.
Perfect. And this is Brian. I just popped on.
Hi, Brian. Welcome to the call. So, okay, we have Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, on the call with LeVon Williams. And LeVon, I'm going to let you and Brian take this away, whichever of you would like to speak first.
Okay, I'll just start that. We really welcome Brian at this to be able to come on in, and I think this is a grand opportunity for all of us because as staff, we really talk a lot and talk with Brian about the archives, but I think in terms of when we get into the boards, that's really not talked about a lot. And we talk about it like on a management level versus, really in terms of working with the staff at the station and the people who are working with, like the finance people and the other people there at the station. So I think that this will give Brian an opportunity, who gives excellent presentations. Not putting you on any type of trying to, give you any feelings of discomfort.
I'm fine.
So Brian can talk about it, and what we have is hopefully everyone can go in and pull up we'll let Brian talk, and then we can get into the numbers later, but help everyone pull up the budget on out, and also I sent out the actual so that we can kind of look at what the actual expenses have been for our year-to-date for the archives also. So what I'd like to do is just have Brian get started, and that would be wonderful.
Sure, thanks. And thank you again for inviting me. This is actually the first time in my 12-year career at Pacifica that I've been invited to the Finance Committee call to sort of explain the budget, see where, and let you know where I was coming from, where we were coming from and putting it together, and what some of the restrictions are, and also what we feel the recommendations are, and the budget sort of fluctuates from year to year.
Thank you, Brian. We're very glad to have your input on the call.
Cool. So this year, and luckily I am here to sort of explain the fact that what I really needed to do, I felt, was to put forth a budget or a set of expenses that really spoke to the growing need to preserve and digitize the collection in the appropriate manner, because we are at a point where we will be losing and not being able to recover many tapes if we continue down the road of just balancing the budget from year to year based on what we can afford. So what I'm trying to do is put in what we really need and what we can really accomplish with the infrastructure Pacifica has on its staff to be able to get some real work done. So you will see that the total revenue is $247,000 at this moment, and the total expenses is $576,576. So, no, it's not a balanced budget. But there are some holes in the budget that we're still waiting for some numbers on that will increase that revenue up to what we hope will be close to that total expense line. So just before I get into any numbers, again, I also wanted to sort of just talk briefly about where the archive is in terms of its, I won't say growth, but in its endeavor to preserve the materials and make them accessible and serve our mission. Within the Pacifica Foundation consolidated structure. It's sort of been in that sort of just keeping our head above water as the stations and the foundation try to stabilize. I mean, that's been really okay as we've been getting grant money to do preservation in piecemeal. So just think about it as we've been sort of like biting off little bits and pieces of the collection as grant funding has come available to us. And we've never been able to get larger grants than those little itty-bitty bites because there's not enough staff to take care of the deliverables and do the grant work. And then also a lot of the staff energy over the year is dedicated to raising money just to keep operations going. So we've always been playing the sort of balancing game with what the station central services provide in their fluctuating year-to-year game, what our sales provide us with, and that's been going downhill since Democracy Now! Contract back in 04 or 03, whenever it was. And it was 06. And our listener support, our fund drive, when we go on one day a year. That's been going on since 2003, I think. All right, so you know, I also wanted to sort of put out there that, you know, the archives is such a cultural heritage artifact in American history that, you know, Pacific has sort of taken on the obligation to make sure that it is preserved for the public, being that it sort of owns it and governs and manages it. So, you know, I do want to sort of put forth that, you know, as we look at the budget, we also sort of keep remembering that what we really need to do as a foundation is put in place the markers that allow us to go get that big funding and get the thing done in a big, big sweep. And this year really is the best, and this is the good news, you guys. This year is the best opportunity that we'll have to get large funding to get the entire collection inventoried and a large portion of it preserved or digitized through the American Archive, which we were part of the pilot project. Just a few weeks ago, the executive director of the American Archive visited the archives physically and visited KPFA radio station as well. Spent the whole day with us and really sort of gave us the insight into what the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has set the American Archive as a priority, both with funding and its urgency to get the job done. So we are at a point where we will be putting in an application for a large inventory grant probably between August and November. So the vision of preserving the collection is much clearer now because we have this American Archive that's willing to work with us to get that part of it done. But we still need that infrastructure to make the opportunity happen. We need people on the staff to be able to make the work. All right, so before I guess we get into numbers, I sort of wanted to open up the floor for questions or comments or clarifications or anything that didn't make sense.
I'll take a stack. Other questions for Brian? All right. Well, actually, Brian, I'd appreciate if you'd let everyone know in terms of, I know you told me some things about the composition of this organization that's going to be approving various archival things and where we're at and all of that. Could you maybe elaborate a little more for other people's knowledge?
So you mean about the American Archive?
Yeah.
Okay,
our role, you know, the special role that you're playing and our archives are playing.
Sure. Right. So in terms of public media in the big scheme, PBS, NPR, community radio, low power FM, Pacifica is the progenitor of radio broadcasting. So we have a history that predates public broadcasting and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting by some 25, 27 years, something like that. So it's really, really, really critical that the Pacifica Archives is part of any preservation project that the Corporation for Public Broadcasts put forth. If we're not part of it, that means we're not part of the historical document. So the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, following a testimony before the Library of Congress Sound Preservation Board, in 2005, myself and
welcome to your conference, powered by Ring 2. Enter an access code, then press pound. To cancel, Press star.
That's it. So Pacifica Radio was a big part of that pilot project because we were only, three stations. We were the only radio-only station that participated in the pilot project. There were 25 TV and radio stations that participated, including WGBH and KQED in San Francisco. And it was $100,000 that the archive staff and consultants and interns put together the inventory and preservation of African American Civil Rights Movement recordings from KPFA station only. It was a 4-month project, so we could only actually finish the work of a little itty-bitty-bitty bite of what that pilot project wanted us to do. So we did it. We completed it. We were at the top of the heap. They used our materials in the presentation for the PBS Board of Directors meeting. They also used a presentation at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Board of Directors meeting that helped get the vote of prioritizing the American Archive and putting even more money into it and creating an urgency for CPB executive staff to prioritize. So that's sort of like the background of the American Archive and why Pacifica is, it's really critical for us to be part of the project. It means that our stuff will get preserved. It will be made accessible, not only to us here back at Pacifica, but to the general public under the guidelines of this American Archive and how they make each individual piece accessible. It's really great news.
And, Brian, how does that work on the, is there a number of years or how this is supposed? Or is there
right now they've got, they got to start, with the money that they have sort of allotted in this sort of first 1 and 2 year phase. We'll have to do with a comprehensive inventory of community radio and television, our collection here at Pacifica, all the radio stations, and even going into independent producers that have ever been through Pacifica. If we can find programmers that kept their tapes under their beds or in the closets or in their garages, now's the time where money will be allotted in little SWAT teams that will travel to locations and do a comprehensive inventory. And then that's when, and before that is even finished, then another request for proposals will go out for the actual preservation of the materials. So the first request for proposal will be available August 1st. Addie Gevins and myself are as prepared as anybody can be in getting ready to put the application forth and make recommendations to the foundations of what we need to make sure that the job gets done, which is what is in basically in this budget anyway, of needing, we need 2 staff members, a professional cataloger and a web strategist, which is basically the people that help do the cataloger is the professional Library of Sciences degree person that does database descriptions and getting the records correct for compatibility with the rest of the collections in America through the American Archive, and the web strategist. We don't have a web person on our staff, and our website is pretty dismal.
Yeah.
And with regard to what the grant funders expect for us to make them accessible, we've been able to do that again in like little pieces and bits. So if you go through our website, you can find a page from an NEA grant with some tapes made available. You can find a Grammy grant page. But it's now time to aggregate them and make a presentation of a website that not only sort of presents the recordings in the way that we would like to, but also moves us forward into the 3G and 4G world. Sean, we put a report out to the PMB about a month ago. Sean Dulles and I went to the NFCB conference, and we've been doing some workshops on the iPhone and the Android and the applications. So the future of the archives is to distribute our audio through iPhone applications for History Month. So if you think about February for Black History, your iPhone will give you a 2-minute audio clip of the day in Black History from the archives, and then we would get, let's say just, I'm not even going to say, don't think this number, but you know, we would get a portion of proceeds for people who would be downloading the application to get the history. So think about like 99 cents going to the archives for everybody that downloads the application. So that's another source of revenue that we're looking into, but it's probably not projectable in this budget. We're working on some of the technical background through our NEA grant, which is happening right now, and we're doing the final report on that. We just began another NEA grant. We're applying for a Grammy grant, and we'll be applying for the American Archive grant. So we're sort of absolutely strapped with how much energy is put into going to get the grant and doing the grant, as opposed to just basic operations, which is kind of what you see in the budget.
I have a question, madam.
Of course. Go ahead, Alberto.
Yes, Brian.
I'm sorry, who is this?
This is Alberto Luera from Texas. He's a
okay, thank you. Hi, Alberto.
Hi, Brian. I'm from KPFT in Houston. Quick question. American Archives, who is that?
Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Do you know what that is?
Of course.
Okay, so the Corporation for Public Broadcasting initiated the American Archive preserve and inventory and make accessible the legacy of public broadcasting in both radio and television.
So it's a division of the CPB.
Yes, that's correct.
And it will receive a batch of money that will be coming down the pike, and the American Archives will be receiving proposals, and they will be funding, hopefully, your effort.
That's correct.
Excellent. Do they have a board of advisors, or...?
They are creating the board of advisors, and the visit from the executive director of the American Archive has invited me formally to be on that first initial advisory panel.
Would your chances of getting funded be helped or not helped by you being on that table?
It would ensure that the archive sits at the will ensure that the Pacifica Archives and Pacifica's legacy will sit at the table of how the American Archive is created. So already, we've already influenced them on how they describe civil rights movement categories. We've added, I'd say, 7 categories in civil rights that they didn't have in their list before, such as disability rights, mental patients' rights. There was some extensions of the gay and lesbian community that they forgot. So we were able to sort of expand their vision of definitions of civil rights already in just the pilot project. So this part of the participation for the advisory panel is basically setting up the standards and practices of what the archivists or the people down on the ground at all the little radio stations and TV stations are going to be able to do to deliver on the inventory. So I've helped them, I will be advising them on how to create SWAT teams, basically, that will go out and help each station, television and or radio, do the inventory and be able to benefit from the funding and the project.
Sure.
And of course, the answer is yes, it will help our chances to be funded.
Thank you, sir.
Are there other questions for Brian from the committee? Okay.
Arne, can you hear me now?
I'm almost disappointed. Okay.
I know. I'm thinking, here we got you on the next call, and I'm just full of questions. I'm thinking, hey, Brian, what about this?
We haven't gotten to the meat yet.
Oh, no, we haven't gotten to the meat yet. All right, so I guess now we'll get to the meat, right?
And LaVarne, did you have something you wanted to say there? Or are you just back on?
LaVarne,
go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I was on mute. When Brian talked about going to the NFCB, he didn't tell the rest of the story, and that's that Brian received an award when he was there, and it was the Bader Award.
Thank you.
And it was for Tell us a little about it, Brian.
I knew you were being too modest and had left out
exactly.
Excellent details.
Well, the good news for in terms of the archives in Pacifica is that the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which is basically our community of affiliate stations
mm-hmm.
and community and low-power FM stations who are non-affiliates, and NPR stations, that sort of industry gave the Bader Award, which only has been given out three times, to Youth Radio, Radio Bilingue, and I can't remember the last one, and myself, and the Pacifica Archives for innovative and creative contributions to community radio. It is one that is not a competitive award, and you don't submit anything to it, but the board of directors of the NFCB determine whether or not anybody is worthy of the award, and this year it was given to myself and the archives. With that being said, you know, the important thing is that a radio convention or conference gave an award to an archive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The profession of archives has been honored by a radio industry.
Yeah.
That's the important thing, of that archiving, what we're doing, how what that industry expects from Pacifica, what the people in that boardroom or and what the people in that luncheon room that heard the acceptance speech and all of that, what they actually expect, the little programmer in Bend, Oregon, they expect Pacifica to make good on the archives. They expect that Pacifica is taking care of the archives. So I think that we, you know, that's just a little cheerleading thing and a little fire iron under the fire. So thanks for the mention of the Bader Award. It means that we are doing great work from the lens of the other community stations and our affiliates, but it also gave me, the fear of knowing that there is a great expectation that we are to do right by this archive and not let it deteriorate or get lost in the shuffle of our financial woes.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple questions, Brian. On the two additional staffers that you've put into the budget, are they... is any part of are they covered at all by this CPB potential?
It's not, but it's possible. In other words, the American Archive will fund, you know, a cataloger or a professional archivist or somebody that will actually do a task on the grant.
Okay.
And a cataloger is somebody that would be doing a major part of the grant work when we do the preservation and inventory, for that matter. But that's why I put only a part-time position in. We really need a full-time position.
Of course.
Like, we really need the full-time position. It's been in our budget proposal every year for 5 years. I think last year it finally got cut, and I didn't even know it. But the cataloger's been in the budget forever and ever. But not enough money has been identified to make sure that that ongoing...
need that. And how
the ongoing position was funded. So by putting in a part-time position, it allows the grant funding to subsidize it.
Okay. And is there a projection yet as to what that grant amount will be for the
archives? No. The first RFP comes out in August 1st. So we'll know then the extension of what kind of funding is available to what kinds of collections.
Okay.
But judging by the pilot project, it's kind of all over the place.
Okay.
But we did get the $100,000 was available. We ended up spending $89,000 of it.
Wow. Okay. And I hate to say it right now with all the cuts going on to the library system in Los Angeles. My God, there'll be people with library science degrees everywhere. They're out of work shortly. Unfortunately, my God.
Yeah. This is a really good time to be able to get some really smart people.
It really is.
Provide us with some good expertise because they're out there looking.
So Brian, this is Alberto. What happened to the $11,000 you said you got $100, you spent $89. Where's the $11?
We had to give it back.
Oh, why?
The window of opportunity to finish the grant closed up.
Oh.
So, you know, if you...
Sure.
Yeah.
You
had to spend it by a specific date.
Right.
There's just, we were working hard. It was hard to spend $89,000 in 4 weeks.
I hear you.
So we got to get the money approved, the people in place, and then rock and roll on spending the money once we get the grant.
And it really was about the inventory. Because we sort of closed the window to KPFA only and civil rights movement, actually we did put in additional recordings that represented some of those other civil rights movements that we wanted them to see.
Mm-hmm.
So we did put in some of those too. We had about 380 recordings under that guideline, which is what the money was spent on. Mm-hmm. Had we opened it up to all five stations and all of the civil rights movements that they expected, it would have been most of our collection.
What?
So that's why that's where it sort of came from.
It
wasn't that we didn't do a job.
Of the grant, you had to limit it to one station because it was limited in time and scope.
Right. And also that they, because it was CPB, they only funded qualifying CPB stations. So they didn't even have an archive, you know, an established archive as a recipient of funding.
Wow.
So we had to apply as KPFA. We could not apply under the name Pacifica Radio Archives representing five stations. But the good news is because I sit at the table, because we got A+ on our report, they've included that the archives and other archives collections
so
as
the
recipients of funding. And as we fixed it, we don't have to do that anymore.
That's great.
So you're saying you can go in as PRA by yourself without having to be connected to...
Right. And that way we can include the tapes from KPFT, which are in cold storage right now. They haven't even been opened since they were shipped to us about 2 years ago. So we can include all of that stuff.
Thank you.
Even the stuff that's in our off-site storage unit and anybody that we can find that has tapes.
And in theory, if we started bringing in oodles of cash, we could even start archiving stuff from our affiliates if we so chose, because you're a lot of time. Yeah.
Well, no, we won't have to because the American Archive is being set up for that purpose.
So they're going.
I mean, all of our affiliates will be part of this project.
They will. Okay, and that's how it works.
They'll be part of. They'll have the opportunity to put in their proposals. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But it's the American Archive is intended to capture anything that our affiliate stations have gathered in all of their history as well. That's the point.
Fantastic.
And actually, that was the point of my testimony before the Library of Congress. It's not just Pacifica's collection, because we have a collection, but there's little tiny radio stations all over the place that have closets, and I know it because I've seen it.
Fantastic. See, so you're already expanding the definition of what's applicable under the law, and that right there is worth sitting at the table for.
Yeah.
I think we probably better get into the meat of your budget.
Another question before we go on, or another point. Brian, can you just briefly explain, or did you talk about that step out briefly, the campus campaign and how we can all, and I can talk about how we can all contribute to that, but can you
please?
I'm sure. I guess we can, I'll talk about that under our first line, which is the listener support in our revenue, which is the $185,000. I'm sorry?
You're at the budget tab.
I'm at the budget tab.
Okay.
So the listener support line 4 is $185,000 projected revenue for next year, and that's based on our single or our two-day fund drive that usually happens in November, the week before Thanksgiving. We have done more than that, but based on the station's extra drives, lengthy drives, dwindling income, we've sort of reduced it from $280,000 to $185,000. And then Mariana also wanted to note that $20,000 of that is down in line 17 under the grants income. And that's because, so the fund drive, we expect $205,000 is our goal. $20,000 has to be moved to the line number line number 17 as a match for a National Endowment for the Arts grant application that we already have pending. So that's what that is. So the 185 plus 20,000 down on line 17 is from our listener fund drive campus campaign. So the campus campaign is what we created to make that two-day drive different from the other station drives, sort of separate the pitch, the way it sounds, hopefully capture a listener in a different way and different listeners. So we created a campus campaign where the materials from our From the Vault series have been reviewed by professors of history, professors of Latino, Chicano studies, women's studies, etc., and they've been selected as a compendium for educational curriculum in high school and college. Oh, so that's what we were pitching on the air of donors donate and get one copy for themselves, and then they name a school of their choice, and then we send the second copy to that school library. And over the 2 years that we've done this, this upcoming November will be our third year, we have donated to, or the listeners have named over 1,850 schools and organizations with copies of Pacifica's historic broadcast. So we have two volumes. We'll just be doing that again this year, and that's the campus campaign. LaVar, did you want to sort of bump into that?
Please, go ahead, LaVar.
Yeah, this is, you know, I contributed to this, and I sent it to my high school in Corpus Christi, Texas. Can you imagine?
Yay, Miller!
Hey, go Buccaneers! I went from being a Buccaneer to being a Quaker, but which is more in line with my thought. But, yeah, this is something, seriously, y'all, you should look at this. This is really good. You get to your high school, your college, whatever. This is like prime material, especially, or junior high even, I'm thinking, for kids who don't hear, they hear mainstream stuff, or now they just listen to whatever, you know. But this is really, really great. You know, this really, really inspired me and in terms of doing something meaningful for young people so that it'll be there, you know, history and give some updates. So, you know, like, this is something that, you know, all the station staff should be, obviously, pitched this, but, you know, in terms of contributing something, if you care for the mission of where you work, have the money, it's something you can do that's lasting.
Can I chime in on some numerical questions here, please?
Of course, Alberto, please.
Okay. I've been, well, basically, the classic question is, your listener support, and again, I'm just asking for those people that have it on their screens. The classic question that we ask on the 185 plus 20 line item, how did we do last year and how did we do the previous year? And is this number close enough to be actually realized for the 2011 budget?
Right.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Lavarne. You've got the actuals in front of you.
Yeah.
You don't have the actuals in front of me.
Sure. Okay. On a year-to-date, which is through actually the numbers I have, actually are the numbers I have through May, although I could have Brian's number because they have already closed for the month. But through May, they have actually, on listener support, it's $166,000, and that's for 8 months of the year. And that was actually better than last year by about $12,000. And on the grant income, I think it's a bucketing problem here in terms of
917.
Restricted grant income community events. But overall, the revenue year to date was $311,000, and his budget for 2010. is the 247. But again, some of his income that he expects, in addition to the grant income that's not in there, are his income from the stations, and he will not know that number until all the stations deliver their revenue projections.
Laverne.
Yes.
The question, my corollary to the question is, if I'm understanding correctly, and again, this is just a stimulus for our brains. If I'm understanding correctly, when the Pacifica Radio Archives looks at listener support, they're looking at those 2 days, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're looking at that national fund drive.
Right.
And therefore, if we, I'm assuming that when that document says 185 plus 20, $205,000, I would assume that that's the money that is expected on that 1 to 2 day fund drive during a week before Thanksgiving. Can you correct me on that one?
No, you're right on that. Now, the number, I think, is really correct, and there's a number of factors that would go into that that would take a little while to explain. But we've done as well as $280,000, and the lowest we've done is $150,000. This year, just based on the feedback from the campus campaign, and I'm going to give you another clue in a second, based on that and what we do with promotions of the drive. Now, think about the experience the archive has with the two-day drive. We're trying to expand that through our website and through the iPhone applications and through Facebook and Twitter and the new sort of technologies that we would expand that fun drive just beyond just the terrestrial signals. So I know we've done website raising in the past, but our Facebook and our Twitter numbers were bigger this year than last year. I think they'll be bigger this coming year, particularly with the assistance we're getting in that technical side. And the other part of it, and this is the really great news from the NFTB conference when we met with the affiliate stations, we sort of pitched to, I want to say it's 15, but 50, I want to say 7 to 15 affiliate stations will basically be carrying the campus campaign fund drive. And so that will be an additional revenue that we have not yet been able to project. But the way it's going to happen is that we know affiliates cannot raise money for the archives and just carry the signal as if we're pitching for the archives. They have to raise money for themselves. But we're going to do the broadcast as a national network broadcast. So we'll be giving them the content from the archived materials, and the campus campaign is the gift, premium gift for their station listeners. But the money, the most of the money goes to the station, and then we get the names of the schools, the names of the donors, and we get the higher premium price that still gives us a little bit of money.
Sure.
So we'll be expanding our broadcast exponentially this year with the help of about 15 affiliates.
Right. I do want to point out to you, Brian, that our function, and I'm sure you know it, but I just want to remind ourselves, our function really is to go over the numbers and make sure, like our Chairman Summer continuously reminds us, our goal is to make sure that every budget that comes before the National Finance Committee is in balance. In other words, that there's enough income coming in to pay for the outputs. And that's all we do. We really do not approve or reject. We just do the number crunching. And then once we see that everybody in the committee, including the presenters in your case, are very conscious of the fact how the thing is going to look for you, we can move it on to the national board. And that's all. That's really all we do. We're not here to.
Okay. Thank you for that. You know, and I know that this budget is not going to be complete by tonight for you to do that because numbers aren't there. The central services numbers aren't there. The projected income from the stations on what premium gift sales that come from us are not there yet. So I think LaVar just had me on because Kate couldn't be on, just to sort of give you that sort of overview of what the intention of the budget's trying to do and why, and basically why it's out of balance right now, too.
Well, it's not out of balance. It's work in progress.
There you go.
There you go.
Let me ask you.
But I have to say my icky part is that I really not happy with WBAI not paying central services.
Oh, you're not the only one.
It's a really bad thing. It's bad PR. It's really hard to stand up in front of our industry and thank the Pacifica stations for their support when I know that WBAI has not supported us in the very basic allowance. So there, I have to say it.
That's okay, then.
I have
it's what makes us have to go crazy with trying to raise money on our own.
I have a continuing question, Brian the Chaser. In your sales to all of us, to our stations, as it relates to our own fundraising efforts, where we give archive stuff as premiums. How is that doing And how is that looking for you? Because I think that is a very big opportunity where we can self-fund ourselves by pushing, you know, to our listeners as premiums your product. And you
right,
tell us
right.
how that is looking in your
Yeah, the history, yeah, I have the history of the five Pacifica stations and the affiliates. The affiliates are a little bit nominal, but they're included.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2003... we were around $55,000 in revenue from that, meaning that the stations raised $500,000 from the archives materials.
Wow.
In 2004, it was $50,000. 2005, it was $47,000. 2006, it was $54,000. Then in 2007, it started going down to $30,000. And then I cried bloody murder, and then we got a lot of our tapes, CDs back from our grant stuff, and then in 2008 we did $74,000.
Mm.
2009 we only did $44,000. And then this year it's a little worse. We're only through June. We have one more fund drive to include this year, but it's down to $27,000.
Why?
Do you have any idea what the wild fluctuations are?
Yeah, the wild fluctuations are just the changes in the station's programming and what the programmers and the staff goes to pitch for premiums.
Yeah.
So if you think about the fund drive, when the people get together to say, what are we going to pitch and who has what gifts, we do put our stuff out there each time. But sometimes it's not relevant to what the producers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there is some really oddball things of KPFA doing $11,000 one year, and then the next year they did only $8,000. Or, I don't know, 2007 was really bad for WPFW because it just wasn't anybody on the ground there, I guess.
So it has to be a combination of what's being promoted on there and being taken from the archives.
Right.
Sounds like we could maybe use a bit more of an internal plan on utilizing the archives more effectively during fund drives, which would be beneficial to the archives. And
right.
The station.
But, you know, it's also hard. You know, we're asking the stations for the first time to project that and give us the number back rather than us sort of make it up off the top of our head and come way off base at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that's one of the numbers we're waiting for. And,
yeah.
You know, one that also sort of, I don't want to say forces them, but gives them the incentive to make sure that they meet with that. And that's also in terms of them getting the revenue, not them making money for us or anything.
Yeah,
but it also gives them the incentive to remember what the legacy is about and what, you know, what we're actually pitching. So I think it's been doing a lot better these days.
Good. Yeah, because you have to have cooperation between all the different facets of the network to be really successful, I think, you know.
Right.
Okay, in terms of realistic projections with filling up the gaps in the budget that exist right now, because it is work in progress and you're waiting for some of these numbers to come back, realistically speaking, to have an imbalanced budget that doesn't leave us in a deficit position, where do you think realistically, Brian, in the course of the next, like, you know, we're going to be approving...
Well, I know this is going to sound really like a five-year-old tantrum, when we do all of our expenses of what we need to get our work done,
mm-hmm.
and not lose tapes beyond our own ability to sit here and do it, and we make up all the revenue that we can make up and all what the staff can do, we hope that the national office
mm-hmm.
will put in the difference as national office support to make sure that we can get our work done. And I swear to you, I mean, I'm not. That isn't a five-year-old tantrum. It's actually what I was taught when I came to the archive,
mm-hmm.
is that the archive is solid. The archive is the foundation of what the stations are built on. The archive must be protected, everybody says so. So that's what we put forth of what we need to get that done. And it's not been a unit that makes money. I don't feel it's ever should be seen as self-sustainable,
mm-hmm.
Because an archive will always become more expensive no matter what you do. Everything will have to be migrated over and over again as we go into the future. We should be collecting more and more stuff all the time to make it more expensive. So just that sake of self-sustainability, it doesn't work with me. So with the idea that National Office, Levarne, together, you know, basically we've all been working together to make up those differences as they come with shortfalls.
And what are we looking
at
right
now? But I think that we've been able to do that this year with the idea that this year we will look to do the first direct mail piece for the archives.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done a simple mail piece to our Pacifica listeners. Mm-hmm. Even our unique database patrons in the archives from our affiliate stations to appeal to them for
support.
Anything. So I think that because of the Data Award, the campus campaign, the From the Vault, the institutionalizing the an American archive and being at the table, I think we have enough fodder to go ahead and do that direct mail campaign and see what, and I think that we could at least project, and this is a pre-projection before we go through the caging people and getting Arlene to approve it and really talking with LaVarne and maybe Phil Osgeda if he has some time, of what the real projected income can be on a direct mail piece.
Okay.
But that's the one way that we're going to do it. The second way to make up revenue is this iPhone application thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can get some sort of like pilot project money in hand to where we can start projecting money in the future. But yeah,
I think
we've looked toward national office to go find money for us to make up the difference.
And what is the proposed? I mean, what is the projected budget shortfall right now? Where do we stand right at the moment in terms of your aspirations for this budget and where reality is lying?
Actually, I think it's even pre that. I mean, the numbers of central services should come get us really close to that 576.
Okay.
Central services and the premium sales.
Just a very quick one
to remind ourselves on this one. Brian, and again, to LaVarne, the shortfalls that you see in your portion of central services, Brian, is multiplied 3.5, 4 times, 5 times to the national office. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying from my chair, I fully support your effort and your thought, but you need to understand that when central services do not come in, national office suffers. We do not pay Democracy Now, and we start running behind on our bills, and I think that that is probably the bigger problem that we have, that many of the central services funds are not coming in from the signal areas into the national office, and if it's not coming into the national office, it's not getting to you either. So we need to work again at trying to get those the local radio stations to boost their income, because it affects everybody.
Right. I mean, I do understand that, which is why we cut our budget last year and cut our budget the year before that, and we let go our receptionist, so our business manager is taking phone calls during the day. You know, we've understood it. We haven't had raises in 5 years. We've understood it, believe you me.
Yeah.
And we've done all we can. We go out to book festivals. Our staff goes out on a Saturday and sits behind a table in the hot sun to sell products.
Hey,
we've gone to Leimert Park that goes out to do that.
Yeah.
We hustle, man. We hustle every dime that we get. So I appreciate the sentiment, but we really do, in the sense of the structure of the foundation, look to national office to come up with a solution
to
the money. And I know that it's not the same as central services money. So even if it is hiring a consultant, a development consultant for 1 month to work with me to make the campus campaign opportunities work and get revenue back in, then that's what I would look to the national office to do for me. It doesn't mean just give us a little portion of whatever somebody else should get. It's not give me Democracy Now's money. I know Democracy Now! Needs money, but what I do need is the assistance to make the opportunities that are right smack dab in our laps happen, to make so that we don't have to get money from the other resources.
Exactly.
And if I may say, just as as a local, as a board member from Los Angeles, I mean, I can personally say that, you know, I often see the archives out at events when I don't see KPFK out at the event. The archives are the ones that give us a public face at many, many events, and that's working after hours on weekends in addition to being there full-time at the archives. I see the archives staff, like a good chunk of them, like most of the archives.
Four of us.
Right, exactly, because there's hardly anybody there to begin with. You're all always out at something when there's something to be out at, and I think that they work really hard, both in terms of public outreach and in terms of bringing in extra money. And, I mean, I agree with Brian. I think this is obviously this should be a priority for the network because this is our history, this is our historical base, and it gives us, you know, an ongoing gift that we can share with the public. So.
And I know that sounded defensive, but I let's turn it into the positive. Actually, there really are great opportunities. We just need a little of assistance from,
yeah.
I mean, our national office staff is overstaffed, so we understaffed, so we know it's not LeVarne and Arlene
we've all
that we need assistance from, but it's just a little bit of approval of finding the right consultant to get us through to that direct mail piece.
Well,
get it designed, like, and get it going.
Digital downloads, things like that. There are a lot of things to take advantage of new technology, which I think would help to generate income for the archives. I mean, I've often thought we could have something with a archive of the month thing, you know, or you come and you join something and you can download an hour or something really good every month that's like, you know, whatever. I mean, there's lots of different ways, but you obviously have to have to pursue it.
Or even a list of major donors that we should find a major donor development person to go make the appeal.
Yeah, this is
Summer.
R. Paul for SPAC.
R. Paul, and then I hear another voice?
And Mike.
And Mike, okay, R. Paul and then Mike, please.
Okay, yes, regarding the unhappiness, regarding WBAI's not paying central services, yes, I agree, it's a bad thing that BAI is in fact a net sink instead of net source for most of Pacifica. It is, however, something that's been going on for many years, and this is, I have an idea that this has its roots actually 20 years ago, but it's part of what's been happening with Pacifica for a while, and I think we have to acknowledge that some things have been going on that have impaired the entire Pacifica Foundation, and we're all suffering from this. And yes, we must do better, but we also need to understand that for quite a while there, there was a great deal of support for WBAI not being able to be self-sustaining at all. And if it's not self-sustaining, it certainly can't contribute to keep up everything else. So it's sort of we're all in the same boat, and I hope we can all make things better. Some of us are hoping to be able to improve things, especially these days. And I do hope WBAI at some point will be able to contribute to central services. And that would be good for everyone and probably would improve, be indicative of an improvement in the health of the entire Pacifica Foundation.
Here,
thanks, I appreciate that.
And Brian, so you know who, that was our Paul Martin, treasurer of WBAI's local station board. And the next person who's going to speak is Mike Martin, who's the treasurer from KPFT.
Mike Jones.
Oh, I apologize. You know, that is like the third time I've done that. I apologize. You realize we had a chair on national finance for a year who was named Mike Martin and who was also from Texas. And I so apologize. Mike Jones.
No problem.
Treasurer from KPFT.
Right. So far, yes. I just wanted to pitch in. Well, a couple of things. I perceive the archives as being a unique and invaluable resource. And I applaud Brian wholeheartedly for every effort that he makes to ensure the continuation of the archives and the ability to distribute that information across the country. I think that if more people knew that it was available, that they would have to hire extra staff just to meet the demand. I don't know how, you know, we in Houston can assist you. I certainly would be willing to help any way possible. I know we don't have the product here, and I support what's done here on air. Have you ever, Brian, speaking specifically to you, have you ever looked at more traditional, if you will, advertising? I'm thinking, you know, I read a couple, you know, The Nation and Mother Jones and some of those. I mean, that's marketing to those readers, markets to people who are interested in obtaining what you have. And I know that, that with the finances being the way they are now, it's probably not even an option.
But right. But yeah, we have thought about it a number of times over the years, and the basic answer was we never had money in our marketing budget to cover a basic quarter page ad. And we were working with a couple of ideas of trying to get the nation to donate an ad to us or do a story. We've done press releases a number of times that have gotten us good press in Billboard magazine and the LA Times, New York Times. So we've been able to do a little bit, but certainly not in the advertising. So there's definitely, you know, that thing about PR, public relations / advertising. We have a lot of fodder, whether it's that direct mail campaign, if we mix a press release out of it and maybe an ad in the Nation magazine at the same time, then we might actually get the ball rolling to where we would have enough responses where we would need extra staff just to keep them away, keep them in-house.
Well, I think you hit on it. It's getting the ball rolling. And at some point, I think that means making that investment with the expectation that you will glean profit from it.
Right. Well, we're shooting for February, being Black History Month of 2011, for our release of our iPhone application. So I don't know as we go into meetings and developing it, we'll have to look at, you know, what the expenses are and what the revenue is and where we can get funding to do that. So, again, there's so many opportunities. It's just a matter of which ones can we afford and which ones can we develop into phases where it would equal revenue. But I think we're there with a number of them. And it just takes you guys, for one, to recognize that in the numbers section. We'll balance this out and then see where we go on a quarterly basis.
Right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
And are there other questions from other committee members?